Sorry, I thought my tongue was a little blue. It is a little blue.
It's a little blue.
It's because of the TikTok water. Yeah, if you're wondering why they're suddenly like, we're going to get to a lizard over here. Danny's used to me just doing weird stuff over on this side.
It's all good.
It's what happens because Danny and I are very comfortable with each other. And so I just like forget that. I just forget.
No, I was thinking the I cannot wait to see you in person again someday. Mm-hmm. I hope someday soon, but I don't know. We'll see where life takes us. But like, I want to touch you, baby.
Yeah, I want to touch you.
I wish I could just reach through this camera right here.
Right?
Just sort of touch your face.
Anyway. We're on topic and on brand today. Hey, welacome to Two Lacquered Ladies, the podcast about nail polish and nail art by the ladies who stream it. I'm Stephanie, aka Fanatic, here on every social media platform that matters. I'm an unprofessional nail artist, and I like to make fan art on my nails.
Howdy, my name is Danny, and you can find me as Danny Shout online. I'm a science educator by day and a nail art hobbyist by night. On stream, I like to create scenes with themes on my nails.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back.
Hello. Can you hear how, sick I am?
Yeah, I didn't even ask because you know me.
We had to save it for the podcast. It's all good.
We had to save it for the podcast. I had to explain to Danny about my 2D boyfriends. Very important. Yeah. I already sent her several texts about them. But
I love getting updates on your fictional boy problems.
I've just been posting gifs of like people like just raging because I need my boys to put their differences behind them and get married. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the point is, Danny, why are you sick?
I lost the battle. I'm surrounded by sniffling children. And they got me. In fact, I like playfully yelled at one of the classes. I was like, "You got me. You did this to me." And they all shook their head. They went, "It was Louis." they knew exactly which kid it came
from. Was he not there?
He was not there that day. They were like, it was him. He's out sick right now. I'm like, that's gotta be it.
They need to do just like a federal mandate that if you have a cold or something like it, you just can't go. You just can't go.
I mean, you're going to get me on my education soapbox. But like, we have done online school. We know that it's possible. Why is there so much emphasis still on the number of days and stuff like that kids have to be there? Like, I don't quite understand that as a measurement. I do understand that being in school is beneficial. But if you're sick and you only have a limited number of absences before you lose credit for a course, then have an online like option for those days or whatever. Like you log a certain number or do a certain number of assignments, something. So that... Anyway, I don't have to keep getting infected.
Or just a doctor's note. Just like, I am legit sick.
Well, and that used to give you an excuse, but now it at least in Texas, it's measured by the number of minutes you are in school. So you can have an excused absence or an excused arriving or late or leaving early, but those minutes count against you. And you still have to be physically in school a certain number of minutes. That's a whole thing.
You can see the look on my face. I am disgusted.
I get it because there is a benefit to kids being in school. And we don't want kids to just disappear, you know, because that happened a lot during COVID. A lot of students just disappeared and we don't know, like they never re-enrolled and we don't know where they went. But... the illnesses is really annoying.
That's a separate problem, though. I feel like too many people are like, I've got to deal with this like problem this way. And it affects another thing where you're like, these shouldn't have to be related.
Right. Anyway, my brain is now trying to focus on that. And I'm like, no, brain, It's podcast time. Work is tomorrow. Podcast is now.
As you know, this is a nail polish podcast, so I do have some news, and that is that the actor who played Brahms from The Boy got married.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, your nail polish news. Yes, I saw on his Instagram that he got married. His Instagram, I believe, is just Jim's. And yeah, I said congratulations, and he liked my comment. And I just want to say, James Russell, don't leave your wife for me. I know it's tempting. I'm not a home wrecker. That one little heart
on that comment, that's all it takes.
I could tell how he was feeling. He looked at my profile and he saw that the first pinned post was me in a really, like, bizarre cosplay of his character. And he was just captivated by my beauty. in that mask. But yeah, no, the only thing it says in his bio is like, actor Brahms Heelshire, The Boy 2016, and then a link to his IMDb. So as much as I'm like, am I the freak for like following this guy and like tagging him in my The Boy stuff? I'm like, no, that's like literally the only thing he like advertises that bio. He does. But I also was absolutely not the biggest freak in that comment section. And yeah. I say that with all the love in my heart. You freaks, keep going. Like, keep posting your, like, gifts of, like, Greta, who is, you know, the main character in The Boy. And in my opinion, you know, like, that's a romance right there. Her, like, sitting up terrified in bed and stuff, like... She just found out or something. Oh my god. And then people being like, they're my parents. And then people are like, girl gotta marry Brahms and like all this stuff. It's like, okay, I'm the normal one here.
That's why your comment got a like. That's why.
That's why mine, theirs didn't. Actually, you know what? We're going to check right now. Everybody, come with me on a journey. Let's see if the freak comments got likes from him. I really hope they did. It's my dream that he loves them. It's not that I don't want to be freaks like them. I just don't. Let's see. Did he like the thing that says, yes, he did! He liked one of them that said, OMG, they are my parents, please adopt me. Yes, sir. I love it. He also titled it Wife Reveal, which I think is very cute.
Wife Reveal.
Okay, somebody said, no, my Brahms. Let's see. No, he didn't like... Wait. He did! He did like it. Okay.
He's very generous with those comment likes. Good for him.
I want to make a burner account and just like write the most unhinged one possible. You're lucky, sir, that I'm not that big of a freak, but I want to be. My big question, then we'll actually move on. Okay. My big question is, did he like the Greta GIF? Okay. 34 likes. Yes, he did!
Oh, so generous.
We don't deserve you, James Russell.
James Russell, thank you. Thank you for being just an absolute gem. That's amazing.
Thank you so much. I hope that your wife gets a kick out of this.
I hope so.
If I was your wife, I would.
I'd be eating it up. I'd be like, this is so funny. Like...
I hope she's into it. I hope she's into the mask. I hope he has one.
Yeah.
And they use it. Do it anyway. For the rest of us. Sorry. Oh, this might be the most unhinged opening we've had.
I don't know. We've done some pretty bad ones, but that's up there. Speaking of actual nail art news, Lindery has been really good about keeping us all updated on things. So I really appreciate her for that. I just want to give her another shout out because like her update on the Mooncat bottles is really helpful. Like, you know, it's like drama, but like she does it in a helpful way. And I really appreciate that. I really like that.
Well, I hate it when it's just drama in an unhelpful way. When it's just like...
It was just so much of YouTube. You know what I mean? There's so much of that out there that it's such a breath of fresh air to be like, oh, you're informing and like in a helpful way and not in a just doing it for the views way. So good for her. Thanks, Linry.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting that Linry has like kind of taken up the helm as like the nail polish news person.
And her birthday was Friday.
It was, and we did a collab. It has been collab central because yeah. So we had Plus Life Lacquer's birthday and collab that I helped host. And that was really, really fun. I did a Fallout Manny. Danny, what did you do?
I recreated one of her manis that focused on the bean polish because it is the best. And it's just a cute little mushroom and fall leaves on the accent nail. And it's just showing off them beans. It's so good.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, that's Mush Mom. I used Glowing Fungus, and they were both from the Mushroom Collection. And, like, yeah, it was really funny. When we started calling the bean polish, I had, like, been posting about it, and then I got, like, a message from Summer, and she was like, hi, why is everyone calling it the bean polish?
Look at it, Summer. You're acting like you've never seen baked beans before.
Yes. You know, I think she was probably too close to see the beans.
She's like, it's mushrooms. What are you talking about? The mushrooms were definitely, I think, probably my favorite Plus Life Lacquer collection so far. With, of course, the Taco Bell collection being, because that's what caught our attention with Plus Life in the first place. And it's so funny to kind of think back and be like, we heard of this random brand, you know, that we'd never heard of doing a Taco Bell collection. Like, what? And it was just, it's the start of a beautiful, beautiful friendship.
Yeah. I actually heard about Plus Life Lacquer for the first time when I was on that trip with Hillary from Mediocre Manny's and Stacy Quality Nails. And like, they were talking about them like, oh, I'm really interested. That's also the first time that I heard about Victorian Varnish. And yeah, then, you know, I ended up getting the Taco Bell collection because I love Taco Bell and I still love Taco Bell. I ate there last night. I drink out of a Taco Bell cup almost every minute of every day, but it's full of TikTok water and not Taco Bell water, which is soda, which is Baja Blast Zero.
Well, Baja Blast flavored, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was Summer's birthday. And then Lindry's birthday was Friday the 13th, which I just, I love that for her.
No, Lindry's birthday was really fun. So what did you do for Lindry's birthday, Danny?
I again did beans, but instead of using the bean polish, I painted beans. I was trying to recreate her Heinz beans manicure, which is so good.
Yes.
I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she fit the entire word Heinz and then beans on a nail. The best I could do is three letters, so I got Hisbens.
Hisbens. Yours, Hisbens, if I may say, is better and more iconic.
I'm very proud of my beans. They came out really good.
I'm not trying to throw shade at Linry. So, Linry, if you're listening, I'm not trying to throw shade at you. It's just the Hisbens. Hisbens.
I was working on those nails while you were streaming. I'm trying to remember which stream that was. But yeah, I redid them, the beans, at least 3 or 4 times. I was just so, finally, I got them right. But the Hisbens, that was one shot. Go for it.
Yeah, it was perfect. It couldn't have been any better.
And by the time this episode comes out, we will have participated in one more birthday collab for our sweet friend Jeremy.
Yeah, it's Acula Nail's birthday as well. It was really fun. I haven't done mine yet. I say it was really fun, even though I haven't done mine yet. And it's due in a couple, it's a few hours after we record. So I'm going to have to, like, get off this recording immediately. I'm planning on redoing his Marigold and Peonies, that one based off of the movie The Gay Deceivers. And I can't say a word that they say, but at one point it's this guy is like, yeah.
I may not know my flowers.
I may not know my flowers, but I know one. Whatever when I see one. Anyway, so I'm doing the Peonies and Marigolds Manny, and I'll be doing that when I get off of the call with Danny. And what did you do for Aculin?
I did, give me just a moment to see if he actually has, like, a name for them. It was, like, a tropical colored gradient with blue cheetah spots on top, and it's
oh,
so
I saw
cute.
It!
They came out so good. Yes! So, yeah. Aculid Nails, if you ever don't know what to put on your nails, go look at his profile, because, like, he's got the best nail art, like, and it's not out of reach. Some of it is.
Yeah.
Like, I almost did his, like, tropical flamingo one, and then I realized mm-hmm. I cannot paint that flamingo. It's not gonna happen.
His stuff can be so simple, but it's always just so perfectly executed in a way that I, like, I literally could never. With stamping, I kind of can.
Yeah. But then it's like, you know it's stamping, and you know his is freehand, and it's intimidating.
Yeah. Like, it's easy to replicate, but impossible to perfect in the way that he has.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm doing that. Oh, and for Linry, I did a long bird. Because
oh yeah, you made him into a maze.
I did. As soon as I found out we were doing a birthday collab for Linry, I was like, I need to make Big Bird into a maze. And I think I've had the idea of making Big Bird into a maze for a while. And so I wanted to use his extremely elongated body. I used it in the style of the one that I drew, which was being sucked into a black hole, which I didn't. So when you get sucked into a black hole, the theory is you get spaghettified, which means that, like, mm-hmm. whatever part of your body is in the black hole when it starts a sucking, like, starts getting all elongated into the black hole. Now, the way that I drew it initially is not how that works. Because Big Bird has, like, his butt in the black hole and a leg sticking out, and then, like, the rest of his body is all long. And that doesn't actually make any theoretical sense. Because we haven't ever shoved anything into a black hole as the human race. So we don't actually know if this happens. But, you know, someone's got a pretty good idea. It's funny to talk about anyway.
Just picturing, like, the first thing that we experimentally shove into a black hole is a Big Bird suit.
It's a Big Bird suit. Oh, my God. Please, if you are in the correct field for this, I don't know what it is.
NASA, if you're listening.
If you work for NASA and you are listening right now, I know there's got to be one of you. We have so many scientists. Then you gotta make sure you got a Big Bird suit on hand, okay?
Yep.
Y'all ever get recommended that video on YouTube that's like, what if Big Bird blew up in the Challenger?
No. I've never, no.
So, like, I first saw it because, like, somebody just posted that they were on a date with a chick and they brought her over to their house. And she was like, hey, can I see your YouTube recommendations? It's a really good way to find out if you're, like, radicalized.
She's not wrong.
No, she's not wrong at all.
But you're already at his house.
Yeah. Well, she clearly trusted him enough that if she found that out, she could at least leave. Yeah. Let me see if I can find this for you. Big Bird exploded in the Challenger disaster. Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm going to just share, because you're just going to see the thumbnail. It's really great.
Okay.
I mean, the thumbnail's not that great. The fact that it all exists is great.
The fact that
it exists. Right? I heard that they were thinking of sending either a Big Bird suit. I actually haven't watched this video. This is me. I just react to video thumbnails. So yeah, you've already considered Big Bird. You didn't explode him in the Challenger disaster, which was your first mistake. But don't make that mistake again. Put him in a black hole.
Yeah. Let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens.
I just want to see the spaghettification of Big Bird.
I want to see the real spaghettification of Big
Bird. Yeah, exactly. No, but your nails came out great.
Thank you. Yeah, it was follow Big Bird to the party, and I made a maze. You could go on my Instagram right now, and if you want to fill out my maze, you could do the maze yourself, because it works as a maze. It isn't very hard. Perhaps next time I do a maze on my nails, I'll make it harder. But yeah, that was really fun, and that chat was the funnest chat I've ever had in a collab ever.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. I love that they actually added Linry after we all posted so she could see the chaos. Yeah! That was really fun.
Yeah, yes. We were like, it's such a shame she wasn't here, huh?
The screenshots Nick took of the beginning of the chat when we were trying to decide on a due date. Because, yeah, with her birthday being on the 13th, most collabs, you have the due date for the Mannies 2 days before, which would be September 11th. Yes. So someone said, like, September 11th is a good date, meaning for the collab to be due, and you posted the Sam Eagle meme. It's like, this is so un-American.
Well, Nick started it by being like, wording! Nick's polish.
Phrasing!
Phrasing! Oh my god, it was so funny. It was so freaking funny. But yeah, we added her to the chat after that and like showed it to her, and it was great. It was a great time. So yeah, everybody who we love is a Virgo. I hear that Virgo is the most common astrological sign.
Because yeah, in August and September, like the most popular birthdays?
Yeah, it's because of the time of year 9 months before. 9 to 10 months before. People get busy around New Year's and Valentine's Day and they got all their kids. Nope. So it makes sense that I'm like constantly surrounded by Virgos, because I guess the world is constantly surrounded by Virgos. We all just have Virgos all the way down.
Yep.
So yeah, it's been everybody's birthday. Nikki's birthday was around this time. Nikki's Nails. My husband's birthday was around this time. Hillary's birthday was around this time. You're all Virgos.
We love you guys. Yeah, speaking of mediocre Mannies, Hillary,
yes,
she and Moxie came out with a continuation of her collab, which is so cool. It's called Into the Grunge, and I have ordered the two polishes that were new. Because it's a re-release of Mediocre, the Dijon Mustard Brown, which she revealed, and maybe I knew this already, but in her video talking about it, she doesn't even eat mustard. She just likes the color. And like when Moxie reached out to her, she happened to be in the grocery store and was like, I guess, picked the first thing she saw. That's such a Hillary thing. And I absolutely
That is such
it.
A Hillary thing to do.
But it's also like a really nice polish. But yeah, they released two more. One's called Swamp Queen. It's kind of a brownish, bluish base with a nice blue and purple shimmer. And then Feet Aren't Free. Love that. Which I think makes more sense as the swamp polish, but that's, you know, that's not my business. Because it's like a swamp green with like a pinky orange shimmer. I'm very excited about both of them, so I'm definitely gonna play with those when they get there. And that's the only polish I've ordered in quite a while, but I wanted to support Hillary.
Yeah. You did a PPU, right?
Oh yeah, I did order from PPU. Can't skip PPU. Let me open that up and see what I ended up getting. I think I only got two polishes. Okay, I'm gonna let me log in, maybe. My window's too small.
No.
No, I'm
logging in.
I ended up getting the KB Shimmer, that's the spirit, because I talked myself into it by saying it looks like a koi fish, or a goldfish, and that made me love it, and I had to get that Rogue Lacquer Poison Apple.
Yeah.
It's too good. And the only other thing I got was the Northern Star, Halloween Party Cuticle Oil Sampler, because I love Northern Star Cuticle Oil. So good.
Yes, you do. You love that. I need to oil my cutes more often. I ended up with Cadillacquer the Evil Dead, Kathleen & Co. Pumpkin Vibes, which is Caramel Apple Vibes. Monarch Lacquer Psycho, because Monarch, you own me. You own me now. I'm yours, okay? And then Rogue Lacquer Poison Apple, because, yeah, like, it was so unique.
Yeah, it was definitely the standout.
Yeah, that's like the only one that I couldn't, like, I could not at all do from the things that I have, so I had to get that. But yeah, anyway, sorry for that little segue away from Mediocre Mannies. These look so cute. I'm so excited that they're shimmers. I mean, I know that the original yellow Mediocrity, it has, like, particles in it. It has kind of, like, a shimmer or fleck in it, but I really love these shimmers.
No, I've already got some nail art ideas that I'm excited to play around with them. So, and Moxie's new bottle. I'm gonna be a little annoyed that now my Mediocre and these two won't match bottle wise, but you know what? That's gonna be part of the charm.
I'm kind of curious. Well, okay. They did send Hillary a new one, because I know that would drive her absolutely insane. Like, I know for a fact. Like, she didn't even have Mooncat for a while because she was like, I think the bottles are cool, but also they're not, like, symmetrical. Like, I don't know if I can handle that. So it's like, oh, God. Oh, God. So, no, you could put, she can now put the other Moxie in a different drawer. They don't need to see each other. Just have to look at them at the same time. They'll have the same bottle shape. Yeah, they look absolutely beautiful. I think the most original one in this lineup is Swamp Queen. And, yeah, it just looks fantastic. Congratulations, Hillary. I'm so glad that you're getting more collabs and having more good times.
Yep. Make sure if you guys order it, make sure you use her affiliate code, save yourself some money, and also support her.
What is she, your affiliate code again? For.
It's just Mediocre.
Mediocre? Okay. Yes, she does have a wedding to pay for. She does. So support, support, support. But yeah, there is something that we didn't buy that it's not surprising to me, but it is surprising to Danny. The Dark Academia collection came out, and Danny,
oh my
God, you've been holding strong.
It's so beautiful. I have recently made a decision to improve aspects of my life, including financial decisions, of which this hobby can make it difficult. I have never been able to take advantage of a Holo Taco sale because I've always already owned everything the minute it comes out because I'm crazy. And so I was like, okay, the next non-limited edition, or sorry, non-limited collection that comes out, I'm going to wait till Black Friday. And of course it had to be one of the most gosh darn beautiful collections that I think I've ever seen.
It screams you. Unfortunately.
So, they made a sassy nass pass blank in the Holo formula.
They did! I saw that!
How could they do this to me? She knew.
How did you do this to me?
This is a personal attack. No. I've been loving watching everyone's reviews of it and just seeing it on nails because, oh, Chef's Kiss, it's got this, so obviously this off-white, this dark green, this soft gray, kind of almost a taupey gray, like all the best colors to use in nail art. Like, this is a nail art cream bundle from Holo Taco. They also have the, which I love, they called it the undergrad bundle, and then they have the graduate bundle, which is like the specialty formulas, the shimmers and stuff, which are also really beautiful. One of them, they are calling a frosted metal, and it looks very different from the original frosted metals. And I know Linry was talking about how she's upset about that. I am, I'm not upset about that. I'm actually, I really like this formula better. So yeah, it's, it's interesting to see, is this a one-off thing or is this the new frosted metal formula? I think it's the new frosted metal formula personally, because they didn't distinguish it.
It was clear. So Silent Library, that's the new frosted metal.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I should probably say names.
It was clear. It was clear that they had issues with that last formula, that there were legit issues. Also, this looks really cute in pictures, and the original Frosted Metals formula did not look cute in pictures.
Yeah, it's hard to sell something that doesn't photograph well. They did look beautiful in person, but yeah. When everybody's doing it for the gram.
Yeah, you can get away with it with like one of them not photographing well in your collection, but yeah. When it's a company like this, or such a big part of it is the gram, and also you're selling on pictures alone, like, it's no wonder the frosted metals didn't sell that well, because, like, foils are beautiful, but, like, if you're looking at the pictures and they don't look good, you're going to be like, perhaps not. You're just selling it on your name alone, which Christine's name can get a lot of sales, but, you know, not enough.
There was one other kind of surprise, and that's Devil's Advocate, which is, I believe, Holo Taco's first Krelly.
Yeah.
And it looks absolutely gorgeous. Krellies have the potential to give us that plastic nail look that we both love so much. So I'm really excited to try that one out and get that ever so slight visible nail line, potentially. Just, ooh, makes it kind of sexy, you know? Gives you that natural ombre.
Yeah, this is a beautiful collection. I definitely, like, I would not say no to somebody handing this to me. And at the next Holo Taco sale, I'll probably get a bunch of these. I do want to try, what is it called? Ivory Tower, their Sassy Nass.
Yeah.
I do want to try it, although, like, I just don't think there's a reason to sassy Nass away from Orly. I will say, okay, minor pet peeve. But I'm looking at the swatches, and the third swatch in, their bottle of Ivory Tower needs a shaking so bad.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I just saw that, and I'm just like, hello?
Oh, yep, yeah. It's a little like when butter starts to melt, or when sour cream gets that little watery bit at the top. Yeah, it's got that look to it, but
it's separating.
No, these swatches are, oh, this is so gorgeous. Oh, I'm gonna use so much of this polish. Oh
yeah,
my God.
You are. I am on like the last like third of my sassy Nass, so mm-hmm. I think I will eventually have to actually do an honest to God Orly order, which it's been over a year since I have ordered anything solo from Orly that wasn't the Color Pass.
Yep, I'm getting to that point as well. I'm very excited after Black Friday when I have these to compare the two, because as similar as it is, I do think there are going to be some subtle differences. That means I need both. Okay?
Yeah.
Everybody, they're not the same. Yeah. They're similar. They're not the same.
Fair enough. You know I get you, Danny. Fair enough.
Yeah, because especially for nail art, sometimes those subtle differences actually are what make the art. You can use both. Like you've been doing lately, some amazing nail art. Like art on nails, not nail art. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. I've been doing a lot of art off of my nails. I've been doing tons of stuff. Like, I will be honest, I have not been doing the nail stuff primarily as my primary hobby recently. I've been doing a lot of art, both mini painting, which is definitely nail adjacent. Like,
it is.
I used to do mini painting before I did nails, and it was really funny because, like, back in the day, I was like, oh my God, how do these people, like, so people will, like, freehand stuff on shields and stuff, like tabards and whatever. Yeah. And I was like, how they do that? I could never do that. That could never be me. And now, like, that's the easiest part of what I do on minis, because, like, I'm just like, oh, well, I know how to do that. Oh, that's the thing that I could just do. I could just do it. The other stuff, I'm like, oh, there's a technique. I have to know the technique. So yeah, I've been doing that, and I've been doing some sculpting on that, which has been insane. And I'm loving the sculpting. Like, I kind of thought I would like sculpting, but I never thought I would sculpt so small, but I'm loving it. So.
And you're really good at it. You sent me your little monster from Fallout and you made a custom cloak for her, and it's so good looking.
Yes, I did a cloak for a Deathclaw, but let me show you something. Like, the cloak was pretty cool, and I shared it in the last episode. I shared it in the comments. But let me show you, Danny. I did as well. So we're doing a Fallout RPG, and we're going to go to this place where there is, like, it's like a ghoul circus, and instead of a lion, they have a Protectron, which is a robot, instead of a lion. And let me show you what I did, because I painted this lion Protectron, and I sculpted its little cat ears.
Oh, it's so cute.
And this one, my nail expertise, I mean, it didn't, like, it wasn't really nail related, but, like, I had these little silicone sculpting tools, and like, it was so funny because I was just being so obstinate when I bought them. Like, I was like, okay, so this is, like, two sets of these silicone sculpting tools, and then one of them has a set of dotting tools on the back of them. And I'm like, well, even if those are useful, I already have dotting tools, so I should try to find a set that doesn't have dotting tools, so I can use my own dotting tools. But, like, one thing, like, the sets were, like, more expensive, like, to put that together, it would have been more money. Yeah. And then also, I didn't think of, like, that it would be convenient to not have a bunch of other tools down there, and that, like, who knows if I even bring down my dotting tools. But anyway, basically, right. I just, like, put little lumps of clay, or of green stuff, as it's called, putty, up in the ear place, and then I poked the dotting tool in, and then I crimped it with my fingers.
Perfect. And it blends in so nicely. Like, I can't tell that wasn't printed with the rest of the robot.
Thank you.
You did so good. And his little face is precious.
Yeah, that's exactly one of those things. Like, I'll put the picture in the description. That is exactly one of those things that's like, I would have, like, been like, oh my God, I can't do that. I can't make that myself, but nowadays I'm just like, whatever. And I'm even more comfortable. Yeah. And I'm even more comfortable with things not looking perfect because, like, really at the end of the day, like, your art just doesn't have to be perfect to be great and impressive and fun. It just doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you just gotta do it. People will be impressed enough that you even tried.
Yeah. Because also, what the heck is, what is perfect being in art anyway? Like,
yeah.
You know? Yeah. So.
But yeah, so I've been doing a lot of drawing and sketching. I've been just drawing a lot of human figures, and I did some Suspiria art the other day on my nails. We all watched Suspiria. And Danny, how did you like Suspiria?
I loved it. I did. I mean, okay, so it didn't feel like I was watching a movie. It definitely felt like I was watching an art exhibition.
Yeah.
And I liked that. I liked it. It was so wacky.
It was
really wacky while still be, it still was like dark and moody and such a vibe.
Right.
I love the random exposition in the middle trying to explain it, and it's like, you don't need to explain it, just go carry on. I didn't think it was all that scary, which was nice because I don't actually like feeling scared. There was a moment of anxiety towards the end, the climax, and I was watching very intensely when my dog came up and licked my elbow without me hearing him come in and scared the crap out of me. I actually yelped a little bit. But yeah, it was awesome. It was really good. So I want to show it to my husband and see what he thinks. I don't know if he'll like it, but I'll enjoy rewatching it.
I am so glad you liked it. I think everybody liked it. It is absolutely my favorite combination of things, which is like, this is kind of wacky in one way. Yeah. So we're sitting and laughing about stuff. Like, when I'm watching a movie, like, there's a part where there's a bunch of, like, dudes in lederhosen doing a slapping dance, and it's just, like, right in the middle, and you're like, what is happening here? And then a very serious scene happens after. Like, I love it when we can riff on a movie, but then also be like, wow, that was, like, really deep in some ways, and also, like, really scary in some ways, and also really visually appealing. But, like, you're also just, like, having a good time just being like, what the heck is that? Like,
No, yeah, there was this creepy little kid character that was so goofy looking. He was so goofy looking. My favorite goofy moment was when she gets attacked by a bat.
Yes! It was
so clearly a cat toy. And like, if it was just like a couple seconds of like the bat flying at her and then it flies off and she's, and it's just, you know, it would have done its job, but the scene lasted a couple seconds too long.
Yeah.
Wait, long enough for me to go like, okay, it's a cat toy.
Get
over it, lady. It's a cat toy.
Yeah.
It had no distinguishable head or anything. Like, it's so funny.
It is so funny. Like, there's just, it's such, so many things in that movie are so fake, which I think really allows you to engage with the movie on a level that I think a lot of, like, modern horror movies that really strive for realistic gore don't allow you to, which includes the remake of Suspiria. Like, that movie is, like, it takes, for me, it takes, like, everything that's really, really works in the original Suspiria and kind of, like, messes it up. But yeah, like, the fact that the blood looks like house paint, you can just, like, look at the image and not be like,
Exactly, because blood that looks like house paint is fun to look at. It's visually exciting, because there is that layer of, it feels more theater.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A theater production can never be, like, realistically gory in the same way that a movie can. And that's nice. I like that. Because I just want the story. I don't want to be grossed out.
Sorry. Yeah. Slight tangent time. I was doing a show. I did a production, just like for a festival, I did a production of this show called Wojciech. If you're, like, deep in theater, you might know what it is, but it's a lot. Anyway, and there is a stabbing scene in that. And, like, we didn't have a lot of time to prepare. It's kind of a heavy piece, and, like, a lot of things were going wrong. But for some reason, the stabbing scene went so well and was so realistic that, like, right after the show, one of the, like, festival directors came backstage. This is after the curtain call, after everybody got up and bowed, including the person that got stabbed. And he was like, where is she? And I was like, who? What are you talking about?
The victim.
The victim. Yeah. He was like, that was too realistic. And it literally was like someone with a $1.99 trick knife that goes, it's like you could hear the spring, and then somebody else doing the quote napping, where like they sit behind them and like clap so that it sounds, or like, make noises so that it sounds like they got hit. But just because my actors were really good at being like, and it was like, and then he was like, where is she? Like, it was whatever. I was like, she's fine. You saw the curtain fall. She got up. Like, she, it happened. But then, like, I was, like, really excited because it looked so real. And he was like, this isn't funny. And I was like, how is it not?
Yeah. What do you want?
I fail to see the problem here.
Be bad? Like, I don't know. That's like, funny. That's real funny.
It was amazing. It's one of my most proud moments as a theatrical person. But yeah. So I did some Suspiria nail art. I would really love it if somebody would do a Suspiria plate, because there's a lot of moments in that movie where everybody is washed in one or another color. And so, like, you know, when you cover somebody in red light, anything that's red or white shows up red. And then anything that is another color is just black. So, like, that is so perfect for stamping plates.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody would put some of these images on stamping plates. But, like, yeah, they did it. So I had to freehand. And I kind of was, like, surprised by myself, like, that I could just kind of do what I do on paper on my nails.
Yeah.
I'll put a picture of what I did, but I'm really proud of it. And, I did some fine line work with this brush that I never use, but it worked really, really well. It's like, if I had like tried it out like this and I was doing that Brad and Janet Manny, it would have been even a better Manny. And like, I'm sure you've had this before, Danny, where you're doing your nail art and you're like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
Oh, it's working.
Yeah, no, really, it's a very exciting moment.
Yeah, it was a very exciting moment where I was just like, I was like outlining one of these things. And then I think Helen in our chat was like, whoa, those fine lines. And I'm like, I'm right there with you. Like, I have no idea where this came from. Like, I'm not fully surprised, but like, I'm still surprised that I'm doing it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Thank you. But yeah, I've been super excited with my art. And like, if you are working on art, not that I'm like the perfect artist right now, but like, I do have to say that just like continuing, just like keep doing it, try different stuff. Like, I know for me, doing redraws of like manhwa that I'm reading helped me in ways that I didn't expect it to help me, because I was like, that's not really the style I want. Well, actually, that is kind of the style I want to draw in. Like, but like the manhwas I'm reading aren't necessarily the style I want to draw in that way. But like, I can do like realistic stuff pretty easily. And I've done it on my nails before, where it's just kind of like, it's painting, you know? It's like, yeah, you're like layering and shadowing. There's not lines, but I've been like, I want to be able to like draw a character.
Yeah.
So just like keep trying, and eventually you'll probably, I feel like people think that they're going to get a little bit better every day, and I don't think that's true.
No, there's a little more time in between.
There's a little more time in between, and it's, like, so not linear. Because, like, sometimes you'll be, like, one thing, like, I've been drawing a lot of really, really cute, like, poses, like, couples poses. I've been sending them all to Danny. And I'm like, thank you. And I'm like, oh, I could do this one, and I'll do it, and I'll be like, that was awful. This one, and actually, oh my god, if you are like, sorry that I'm sitting here be like, if you're learning to draw, but like, I'm just learning so much, and I want to share how I've been learning with everybody, because I think that learning is such a skill. First, the idea that you can learn. I know so many people who say about almost everything that they can't learn, that they could never do that, like, oh, I couldn't do that. And it's like, well, you haven't tried. And like, through, you know, stuff like owning a home and needing to do my own renovations and doing nail art, which is just a very low stakes way to do art, like, I've had times where I've had to figure stuff out and realize that I could do it. And therefore, not only is it like learning how to do that thing, it's teaching your brain that it can learn.
Yeah, no, I love everything you're saying. And I'm so glad you brought up the home renovations, because one of my absolute favorite YouTube channels is Ariel Bissette, and she's a younger adult woman. That's a weird way to say that. She's a younger person, but she bought an old Victorian mansion and is, maybe not a mansion, but a home, and is renovating it herself, step by step, learning so many new skills. And she's one of those people that just finds joy in learning new things, even when they're hard. Yeah. And that's so inspirational. So I love that you're talking about this, because that's exactly, yes.
Yeah, like even thank the sculpting. Thank you
for saying it.
You're welcome. Even like the sculpting minis, like, there's just this power in my husband being like, I need this for this mini. And I'm like, I can do it. And just knowing that he has that like faith in me, which like he always does. My husband's so amazing. Like, he's been begging me to paint minis forever. And I've done it on and off, but he's just like, cause I know you're so good at it. You'd be so good at it. But yeah, like his faith in me and just being able to be the person who goes, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised how fast you'll, maybe not how fast, I don't know, because I've been working on this for a long time, like, just working on, but yeah, just try everything and just have a can-do attitude, can-learn attitude. Anyway, I think that it is time for us to take a cuticle break, so we are going to do that, and when we come back, we're going to be answering some audience questions. Stay tuned.
Hey everybody, it's Stephanie, and I'm here to say that if you're loving the show, please consider joining us on our Patreon, where you can be a lackey. That's LACQUI lackey. Every new lackey gets a special shout out on the podcast. And now, back to the show.
Okay, we are back. We are moisturized. We are in our lane. We are thriving. I've had another conversation with Danny about a movie from the 70s, because I cannot be stopped.
No, you're turning me into a film buff. I'm watching things I never, ever would have watched, ever.
I haven't been going on non-stop to anyone who will listen. I'm like, my friend Danny used to only watch cartoons. Not that there's anything wrong with cartoons.
But, I mean, yeah, but it is a limited category genre.
Yeah, there's just not everything's there.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I think there's a lot more than people give it credit for.
Yes.
But it is, yeah, there's definitely, yeah, there's more to life.
There's more to life, and I'm excited because I've learned more from you about cartoons. I've learned more, you learned more from me about live action stuff. And yeah, it's been a great exchanging of ideas.
Having our own little renaissance over here.
Renaissance. Paint our Sistine Chapel with Sessie Nass past blank.
Oh, you know it, baby. You know it. Ooh, we're gonna slap that on everything. Mm. Mm. So good. I know. Was it last podcast we were talking about, like, there was this one Polish is interested from Polish Pickup that looked like dirty sand?
I just
love dirty nails, dirty sand nails, dirty whites. Like, it's just so good.
Nothing wrong with that. I've realized, another tangent time, but I've realized about colors is, I think one of the reasons I love neon so much is actually that I never let myself get too hot. Hmm. Our house has always been really extremely air conditioned, unless it's very cold outside, or very cold from my perspective. I'm a Southern Californian. But like, it's either that or that. And so when I'm cold, I'm like, I want to be on a tropical island where it's hot. But then when we, like, our air conditioning went out and we had to, like, survive through a heat wave, all I wanted to do was put, like, dark fall colors and stuff on.
Yep. It's, you wear what you crave. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually I crave heat.
Yep.
So,
I don't know. Yeah. Something about a calm neutral is just, because my work life and honestly home life sometimes is just so not calm. Just what calmness on my nails.
And see, I never leave my house, so all I see are the walls of this house, which, like, to be fair, many are very colorful, But I'm just like, I just need to look at something really exciting, like, all the time. All the time.
Yes.
But actually, that leads us into one of our audience questions. Yeah. Danny, why don't you read our audience question from Randalore?
Randalore asks, is your favorite color for nails different from your favorite color for other things? And for, I think, both of us, it's a yes.
Yeah.
It's a resounding yes. I hate the color yellow. Or at least I used to really, really hate the color yellow. I'm a little more neutral on it now. But on nails, I think yellow is one of my favorite colors to wear. I know we were just talking about how I like neutrals and stuff like that. And that, I would consider a lot of the yellows I have as neutral. Mediocre is a good example. I mean, Dijon mustard is, it's a natural-ish-ish. Look, it's got brown in it. It's
natural-ish-ish, yeah.
weirdly enough, I don't wear yellow. I don't like many yellow things, but nail polish, I love a good yellow nail polish. Especially that, like, how would you describe this? I'm holding up Hedonist from Sir Colors. It's like it's
sunshine,
not really orange
yellow?
Sunshine yellow. It's a very like punchy yellow. It's not too I do like the butter yellows as well, but like a nice kind of punchy sunshine. Here's Orly's Here Comes the Sun, another one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Like, just good stuff. I don't know. Only on nails, though.
Yeah. Well, there's something about, like, looking at something versus being something in some ways.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like when we're wearing nail polish, like, of course there's people who, like, want themselves to have, like, a look.
Yeah.
I feel though, like, in our community, in our area of the nail world where we're doing nail art and things like that and buying art polishes to look at them, I feel like a lot of us, especially definitely me, my nails aren't really an expression of what I want to look like. They're an expression of what I want to look at.
Yes.
And I want to look at, like, neons constantly. And like, there are areas, well, okay, in my house, my office that you see has that purple wall. I didn't choose this purple wall. This purple wall chose me. My roommate painted it and now I love it. And actually, the first time I saw it, I was like, this is too much. But now I'm like all in. But like, yeah, I'm a mall goth. I wear pretty much all black all the time. And if I like, I'll wear shirts that have, like, neons on them. And then if I can find, like, different pieces, I'll, like, put neons with them. Like, you know, a little accessory or whatever. But generally, if I'm accessorizing, it's, like, a muted purple. It's a muted red. Mm-hmm. It's a gray. Things like that. Like, it's very much, like, muted dark fall autumnal kind of colors. I mean, not like with the pumpkins or anything, but like, yeah, I like warm tones. That is something that's like actually like very much throughout what I enjoy. Like, I like warm tones on my nails, pinks, purples, reds, oranges. And I'm like that with my clothes as well. I aim towards like purples, reds, like the red end of the spectrum. But yeah, like what I wear on my body is different. What I have in my office is different. And then my like neutral for the rest of the house, like downstairs, so we live, our like bedroom and our offices are upstairs, and they're a little more stylized, but like my entire house is stylized. I live in a house that was made in the 20s and it's got a lot of like built-in like architecture, and like it's a very cool, interesting house that we don't deserve, but because we don't treat it as well as we should. But it's a very cool house. But downstairs we have like yellow wallpaper. That's like, it's like velvet wallpaper and it has like mustaches is what it looks like. It's like, it's like brocade kind of, if that's the right word. But like, you can definitely see mustaches in it. I always want to talk about my mustaches. So sorry if that was confusing. But yeah, like everything's kind of like this gold yellow. And I really like yellow. And I don't like yellow as much on my nails actually as I do. I'm like kind of the opposite of you. Not that I don't love yellow on my nails. Like I do.
Yeah.
But, like, if I'm choosing a color, I'm not usually choosing a full yellow mani.
Yeah.
But downstairs, like, in my house and, like, the general, like, chill areas, I love, like, a beautiful muted gold. Like, that's, like, my ideal kind of, like, neutral for my house. Yeah, and I like having a black car, because if you have a car that's exciting colors, the cops pull you over, especially if it's red.
So. That's true. Yeah, it is interesting to think about. I like the way you worded with the nails. My nails are there for me to look at, not to reflect who I am on the inside. And I guess I really fell in love with yellow nails when I was wearing... I have this dark navy dress that's got, like, stars on it and stuff, and it's flowy and it's fun, but it is, like, it's a dark dress, and I wore it with neon yellow nails, and the contrast just got me, because your nails are small, you know, compared to your whole body, so, like, when you have just a little unexpected pop, it's just really nice. So, yeah, it's fun to think about the differences there. I'm looking around my house, and there's a lot of green, which... Same thing. I didn't choose the green. The green chose me, and I actually really like it. So green and yellow goes really nice together. It's also my college colors.
Oh. My college colors were actually, like, red and gray, so they actually go with my aesthetic on a daily basis as well.
That was a good question. Thank you, Randalore. We do have one more quick question here from Vero. What is the best peel-off base coat? And I'm going to be honest... It kind of depends on your personal nail chemistry. I think they're all pretty similar, to be completely honest. I prefer the Holo Taco Peely Base. I think it's the highest quality of pretty much the same stuff. Orly makes a decent peel-off base coat. A lot of people make a decent peel-off base coat. The trick to it, for those of you who are kind of just getting into peel-off base coats, is make sure your nail is prepped properly. Make sure your nail is completely dry, squeaky clean. A Glisten and Glow makes a dry and prep that you could use, or just straight acetone, but be warned, your cuticles will be mad at you.
Or alcohol. If you get alcohol prep pads, those work great as well.
Yes. So anything to dry and dehydrate your nail will help the peel-off base coat stick a little bit better. I do a combo peel-off base coat first and then Orly Bonder Base, so that I'm still getting like a proper base coat layer for protection for my nail somewhat from staining, and it just makes it a little bit more robust, and I enjoy the doubling up on base coats. But yeah, so it's a process. The more you paint your nails, the more your base coat will stick, because your nail gets I mean, being completely honest, it gets damaged over time from painting them. It gets more porous, it gets more textured, and that's actually a good thing for getting the base coat to be more grippy. So if you are new to the nail polish hobby and you're frustrated that your peel-off base coat pops off after an hour or whatever, your nails are just too smooth. They're just too nice. And you need to abuse them a little bit more. And there's some tricks to it. So, like, if you don't paint the peel-off base coat all the way to the edges of your nails, and then when you do paint your nails, go ahead and go closer to the edge of your nails so that you end up getting like this seal around, which means you will still have to do a little bit of remover or acetone cleanup, but a vast majority of the nail will pop off with the peel-off base coat. So I highly recommend them, because then you can also be a creep and keep your peelies in a little journal or a little jar.
You can do a bunch of the boy manis on peel-off base coats, put them all in a jar, and then send them to James Russell as a wedding present.
As a wedding present. Perfect.
It'll leave you a little like.
Little heart. Do be warned, the peel-off base coat life, it is a choice, and it is not your choice when your nails come off most of the time. In fact, one of those beautiful Aculid nail birthday peelies is somewhere in my house. I don't know where it came off. I can't find it. And I always have anxiety about it coming off, like when I'm feeding my fish or my lizard. And I'm just so terrified that it's going to end up inside an animal. I don't think so, because my left hand doesn't usually feed the animals, but I do have just be warned, there's anxiety that comes with it. There's an unexpectedness with peel off base coat.
Christine, Simply Nailogical, will say, like, you can keep it on for 2 weeks, and here's the thing, is that most people can't. If you're Christine and you live your life around your nails and are like super precious about them, perhaps they will. But maybe if you're a little more rough and tumble, you might want the soak-off method, especially if you're trying to make them last 2 weeks. Yeah. Like, look, you're just going to have to wait a little while longer to get your nail polish off, but watch a funny YouTube video. If you're going to wait that long to redo your nails, you can wait 5 more minutes while your nail polish dissolves.
Yep. No, the peel-off base coat life is for those who want new nails every other day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I do. I live that life and I enjoy it. And my students get so frustrated with me. They're like, you have new nails again. I'm like, yes. And they're like, but you didn't do your other hand. I'm like, nope.
No.
I will not the other hand. My right hand. Unless it's for once a month for the Cindy Nails collab. That's it.
So have you gone on that bare Cindy hand life? Is that what you're doing right now?
I am. I'm living the full Nikki's Nails. Yeah.
Yeah.
To never paint my right hand. And that means that when I do the Cindy hand collab and I use a peel off base coat on my right hand, they are popping off the next day.
Yeah.
Almost always. Because I haven't abused that hand as much with polish. So it just doesn't last as long. But yeah, that's from someone who lives the peel off base coat life, that's my advice is keep it up and your nails will get better about holding on to it. I think probably the longest I've gone with peel-off base coat, and again, most of the time I'm popping my peelies on purpose because I want to change my nails, but I want to say I've gotten a week, maybe even up to 10 days with the nails. Oh, one more trick. If you do pop a peelie early, get your nail wet and then stick it back on and then dry your nail the best you can and don't touch it for a while, and it tends to re-adhere. So
amazing.
Yeah. I usually just lick it, gonna be honest. I just and stick it back on.
Just lick it and stick it. Yeah, I like Orly's peel off base best because it's in Orly and I got it for free and it will last me forever.
Yeah, they sent another one, so you will never run out.
I will never run out of Orly peel off base. That's what I love about Orly. It's so funny, Danny. Like, I've been using this brand of paints for minis called Monument Hobbies Pro Acryl, and the bottles are so big and the caps have these anti-clog lids and they're the cheapest ones on the market. And I'm like, this is the Orly of mini paints.
look for the Orly.
Always look for the Orly, because they're also like some of the best paints in general too. Like there's always one company that's just not messing around. They're just like, we want to give you the best and we want you to have it.
And a lot of it.
Yeah. You gotta find those people. You gotta, you know, Mr. Rogers says, look for the helpers. I say, look for the Orlys.
Yes.
All right. Well, it has been a rambling episode. Someday, perhaps, you won't have a rambling episode, but then you'll probably stop watching anyway, or listening. Danny, take us out.
Thank you all so much for listening. Please join out. No, what? That doesn't make any sense.
Please join out.
Join out.
Join out, everybody.
Join out. Thank you all so much for listening. Please check out our YouTube channel and leave a comment with your favorite moment, a story to share, and of course, any questions you'd like us to answer in future episodes.
Be sure to check out Danny and I on Twitch, Instagram, YouTube, and Patreon. I am Fanatic here. She is Danny Shell. All of our links are in the description. Join us next time when we decide what non-nail polish brands are actually Orly.
Stay lacquered.
Join out.